Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. We welcome back to the program acclaimed author Arturo Ortiz, a retired physicist who earned a master's degree in physics from California State University, Northridge, and a master's degree in space studies from the University of North Dakota. He served as a U.S. Air Force officer in the space and missiles field, and he worked as a civilian in both U.S. Navy cruise missile testing and U.S. force propulsion. He taught physics at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University and space systems management at Webster University. After retiring, Arturo dedicated himself to Bible scholarship. His main interests are Christian apologetics, the harmony between science and the Bible, ancient Israel, and the nations of the ancient Near East. His first book, Defending Your Faith, Facts and Reasons for the Christian Worldview, we discussed here on This Week in America. And we welcome back to the program Arturo Ortiz. Arturo, nice to have you back with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be here.
You have been busy since the last time that we talked. We had a great discussion on defending your faith. You've written several other books, a new one we're going to focus on today. Talk about the other books that you've written.
All right. After defending your faith, I had this passion to try to unravel the mystery of Jonah's visit to Nineveh. How is it that an obscure Hebrew prophet could show up at the premier city of the mightiest empire in the world of that era and convince those people to repent in mass, considering especially how cruel and ruthless the Assyrians were? So that motivated me to do a lot of research, and the result of that is my second book, Days of Jonah, an essay on the historical setting of the prophet's mission to Nineveh. And by the way, the results of the research for that book set the stage for the writing of the novel we're going to talk about today. Then I wrote another book called The Case Against the Canaanites, Archaeological Evidence of the Hideous Practices of Israel's Pagan Neighbors. That's basically an expansion of a chapter in my Defending Your Faith book. I took one chapter, the one on pagan practices, and expanded it into an entire book. And I have much more evidence than what I presented in that one chapter of Defending Your Faith. To this day, there's people who say that God is mean, cruel, and evil monster because he had the Canaanites wiped out. My intent was to show how evil the practices of those Canaanites were, and therefore to show that God had moral justification to destroy those nations, that he didn't do it out of wanton cruelty the way the pagan gods did things. They Yes. acted out of wanton cruelty.
Interesting books, and you'll find all of those at Arturo's website. I'll give you this throughout the program, and we've got it on our website, a direct link, thisweekinamerica.us. His website is factsandreasons.squarespace.com. Information on all of the books there, including the new book. Now, tell me about the new book, and the title is intriguing. Talk about the new book and what went into this.
Right, the new book is Lamassu Falling, a novelette of ancient Assyria in the days of Jonah. So basically, I'm telling the story of Jonah in Nineveh, but as a fictionalized account with a mixture of historical people and places, biblical people and places, and also historical fictional characters.
The book is available wherever books are sold. We'll give you all that information as we go through the program. What motivated you to write this latest book, Lamassu Falling, a novelette of the ancient Assyrians in the days of Jonah? Talk about the title as well. What does that mean, and how does Lamassu fit into the story?
All right. Ever since I read the Iliad as a high school student many years ago, I wanted to write some kind of epic story of gods and kings and heroes and damsels in distress and villains and good guys. I finally got around to it, although much shorter than an epic, a short novel, a novelette. And I wanted to do, for this project, for Lamassu Falling, I definitely wanted a biblical setting. I wanted to glorify God. I didn't want to glorify the pagans like the ancient Greek writings. And I had just finished the research for Days of Jonah. So I took my factual research from Days of Jonah, added some fictional characters and events, and produced this short novel. Now, regarding the title, Lamassu Falling, that's basically a metaphor for the collapse of the Assyrian Empire. I'm going to put an image up here. Can you see this?
Oh, yes,
clearly?
We can. Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay, that's a picture of a lamassu. They were huge statues from the Assyrian Empire. This is as tall as a two-story building.
Wow.
They're images of bulls with five legs, wings, a human head with a crown and a braided beard. And they always stood in pairs facing outward from the entrance to a palace or a grand hall. And as I said, they're symbols of the might of the Assyrian Empire. And since Jonah is going to prophesy the doom of the Assyrian Empire, that means Lamassu will fall too. And hence the title, the idea for the title, when Nineveh falls, the Lamassu will fall. And hence the title, Lamassu Falling.
The book is the newest one from our guest, Arturo Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z. He mentioned, he's showing up a picture, held up a picture. The video version of this is available on YouTube. You can Google that or go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, hit videos, and the YouTube video of our conversation with Arturo will come up. And the conversation as well, the last one we did, talk about defending your faith. You can find that there as well. You talked about the research, the basis for writing this book, and now you put it into a historical setting, and I'm sure challenges trying to get everything right and balance everything out. Talk about the process of taking something based in some research and putting it into a historical setting.
Well, we know when Jonah prophesied, it was during the days of King Jeroboam II of Israel. So I did research on what was going on in the Assyrian Empire to look for clues that something like a divine visitation occurred in ancient Assyria. And during the days when Ashurdan III was king of Assyria, which overlaps with Jeroboam II of Israel, the nation of Assyria, the entire empire, went through a seven-year tribulation from 765 BC to the year 758 BC. And when you read the chronicles of the kings of Assyria, their royal inscriptions and the detailed records they kept on events during their reigns, they resemble, surprisingly, the events contained in the New Testament book of Revelation. And one particularly interesting event is, well, you had wars, rumors of war, plagues, multiple plagues, and an ominous portent in the heavens. In the year 763 BC, Assyria went through a major solar eclipse, which falls in that time frame. Now, according to Assyrian religious beliefs, a nation that sees a major solar eclipse will go through tribulation, but the city that sees a total solar eclipse will be wiped off the face of the earth. According to modern-day NASA calculations, the city of Nineveh saw a total solar eclipse in the year 763 BC, and the Ninevites would have believed, based on their religions, that their city is going to be wiped off the face of the earth. Now I ask you, is there a better time for a prophet of the God of Israel to show up in Nineveh and tell them that their city is going to fall? They would believe him under those conditions.
It's fascinating, and I love the passion you have for the research and telling the story. As a reader, we're fascinated with what you've come up with, not only in this book, with all of your books. As a researcher, what is it like? What do you learn as you're piecing the story together, almost like a detective in a sense, as you're piecing all of the information you're finding together, sort of completing the puzzle? How much fun is this for you to come up with this knowledge, to create the story?
Well, it's fun for me because I've always had a fascination for ancient history. Before I became a Christian, it was ancient Greek and Roman history. Since becoming a Christian, I took a greater interest in the civilizations of the ancient Near East, basically the ones that Israel interacted a lot with, like Egypt, Babylonian, the Assyrians. Now, regarding the research, very painstaking. I wouldn't call it fun, but I enjoyed it because I was learning a lot. Now, I had to dig into a lot of things. I read high-quality English translations of the Chronicles of the Kings of Assyria, English translations prepared by eminent scholars like A.T. Olmsted and David Daniel Luckenbill. I read inscriptions from Assyrian monuments that were around during the days of Jonah, and many other sources. And I put all that together in a coherent scenario, coherent also with what the Bible says, and I created some fictional characters to integrate into the scene. I tried to make it a blend of the Bible, ancient history, and the results of research of ancient records.
Well, it's really rewarding for you, obviously, and for us, the reader, as you tell these stories. Lamassu Falling, a novelette of the ancient Assyrian in the days of Jonah by Arturo Ortiz, is the book we're talking about on the program today. Would you explain briefly just what's the historical setting of your story and how does it relate to the book of Jonah?
All right, well, the historical setting is basically that period during the seven-year tribulation from 765 to 758 BC. And at the end of those 7 years, there was a miraculous outbreak of peace in the land of Assyria that endured for several years. Now, something big happened because those 7 years, Assyria went through two major pandemics, three wars that didn't go too well, and they had the omen of the total solar eclipse, which would have predicted the downfall of Nineveh. I also did research into the customs of the Assyrian people. I wanted to make my fictional characters as realistic as possible, and I threw in several historical characters like King Ashurdan III of Assyria and the governor of Nineveh. A scholar's identified a governor called Nabuchodonosor, not to be confused with Nebuchadnezzar of the book of Daniel. No, Nebuchadnezzar was a common name in those days. But Governor Nabuchodonosor was probably the one who ruled Nineveh when Jonah arrived, and Ashurdan III was the king. Now, the Bible does not say that Jonah met the king of Assyria, but I took a literary license and had Jonah actually visit and speak to the king of Assyria. By the way, if you're curious what a king of Assyria looked like in those days, can you see this image
well? Oh, yes, I can.
Well?
Yeah, that's very good.
I'll rotate them slowly so you can get a nice view of the regalia
oh, yes.
they wore. Everything
oh, yes.
he's holding in this little statue is historically accurate, including, you know, the crown, the way he's dressed. And I created a scene where the governor of Nineveh initially is opposed to Jonah, but then has a change of heart, and he takes Jonah to the king and tells Jonah, I want you to stand before my king and tell him what you just told me about the fall of Nineveh.
That's, you do bring this alive. This book is Lamassu Falling, a novelette of ancient Assyria in the days of Jonah. Arturo Ortiz is back with us on the program. How do you blend the Bible into your story?
I have several fictional characters in the story that tell some of the Bible stories. Basically, I created some aides to the king of Assyria who taught him about biblical events, and some aides to the governor of Nineveh who taught him about biblical events. Like, for example, when the first plague broke out early in the tribulation, I had one of the aides to the king of Assyria telling him the story of Joseph and the Pharaoh. Joseph telling the Pharaoh that he needed to store grain during years of abundance in preparation for days of famine. And then he advised the king of Assyria, let's buy grain from Egypt. Egypt always has enough grain to feed the world. And also when Jonah visited the king of Assyria in my fictional account, the king initially rebukes Jonah and had him thrown in prison for a while. But then one of the king's aides again brings up the story of Joseph and reminds the king, Pharaoh paid attention to Joseph and saved the world from famine. Maybe you, the king of Assyria, need to listen to this Hebrew prophet. And it might be might be beneficial to the Assyrian nation. And similarly, I had people reminding the governor of Nineveh that in the days of Moses, Pharaoh sent plagues and brought harsh judgment upon the Egyptians. And we don't want, I should say God, I'm sorry, worded that poorly. God sent plagues upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians in the days of Jonah and brought harsh judgment on the Egyptians. And we don't want the God of Israel to do to Assyria what he did to Egypt. So they convinced the governor of Nineveh to bring the king, bring Jonah to the king, and then let the king make the final decision. So I put these Bible stories in the conversations that some of my characters were having with the king of the whole empire and with the governor of the city of Nineveh.
It makes for a compelling story. The book is Lamassu Falling by Arturo Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z. His website, again, I'll give you this several times, factsandreasons.squarespace.com. All the information there. Great blog site there that I'll mention before we conclude our conversation today. What historical people, places, events did you blend into this story?
Well, certainly the king of Assyria, Ashurdan III, Governor Nebuchadnezzar of Nineveh. And I also created a scene where Jonah is strolling through the citadel of Nimrod. That's where the king's palace was located. It wasn't located in Nineveh. It was located in Nimrod, 20 miles south of Nineveh. And while he's strolling through Nimrod on the way to the king's palace under escort, he sees these monuments with inscriptions on them, and he studies them. And he's grieved because those monuments record victories of the Assyrian Empire against ancient Israel. And there's a scene where King Jehu of Israel is bowing down to King Shalmaneser III of Assyria. And he's grieved that a king of Israel has to humiliate himself before the king of Assyria. That monument is real. That's the famous black obelisk of Shalmaneser III. It's on display at the British Museum in England. And I have other examples of that where Jonah sees things and talks to people that are historical or engraved on monuments and royal inscriptions.
What fictional characters did you create for the story Lamassu Falling?
Well, we know that Jonah had some trouble trusting God, so I created a fictional prophet, a mysterious fictional prophet who ministered to Jonah while he was in Assyria and encouraged him during times when his faith was faltering. I wanted a damsel in distress to be rescued by heroes, so I created a beautiful daughter of Governor Nebuchadnezzar who meets Jonah and befriends him and hires some servants of hers to watch him and protect him from thugs who wanted to murder him. I also created thugs who were out to get Jonah killed for daring to preach against the gods of Assyria. And I created a very evil pagan high priest who snatches the damsel in distress to sacrifice her in fire to the goddess Ishtar at the Temple of Ishtar. And then a trio of superheroes, a mighty swordsman, a mighty spearman, and a mighty axeman who put a little army together to battle to rescue her from the clutches of that pagan high priest.
How do the characters in your story react to Jonah?
There's several groups. One group simply ignored Jonah when they heard him preach. Another group mocked him. One group reviled him and wanted him killed. Another group simply said, he's a madman. Don't listen to him. Send him to the madman's prison. But then there was a small group who repented. And over time, that group grew larger and larger until it became dominant among the people of the Ninevites.
How long did it take you to write this book? I'm fascinated by, you have so many elements at play here. How long did it take you to write this? And did you work from a strict outline, or did the story sort of evolve in your mind and different characters develop as you were telling the story?
The story evolved in my mind as I was writing it. Now, how long it took me to write the novelette? A few weeks. But that's after I spent about 2 years doing the research for the nonfiction book, Days of Jonah. I mean, once I had that research done, it only took a few weeks to put a story together.
What do you hope the lessons are? Anything special you want us as readers to get out of reading this book, Lama Sue Falling?
People will understand the events of the Old Testament better in the historical context of all these pagan nations of the ancient Near East that surrounded Israel and that interacted with Israel. I wanted people to gain a better understanding of these nations, especially the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire is very prominent in biblical history and biblical prophecy. I also wanted to humanize the characters. By that I mean, I put in my book elements of everyday living, like romances, the way people lived in those times, the foods the Assyrians ate, the games they played, even some lustful habits of some of the Assyrians. I wanted to show people that in many ways these ancients, pagan though they were, in many ways they weren't that different from us. And I even had my characters play an ancient Mesopotamian board game called the Royal Game of Ur, just to give people snippets of the way they lived in those days.
An excellent job in writing this book and making that era come alive in telling your story. The book is Lama Sue Falling, a novelette of ancient Assyria in the days of Jonah. Arturo Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z, is the author and our guest on the program. What are you working on next?
I might switch over to some nonfiction writing. With my background in space and missiles, I'd like to write books about rocketry and spaceflight.
Oh, yes.
And I still have more interest to do more research about the Assyrians. I'd love to write a detailed history of the collapse of King Sennacherib's invasion of Judah in 701 BC. But that's going to take many months, maybe years of research, because there are so many sources of information outside of the Bible. The Greeks wrote about it, the Egyptians wrote about it, the Babylonians wrote about it. The kings of Assyria have about at least 40 different short accounts of that war between Sennacherib and Hezekiah. I want to go through line by line through every known source from that era of history and put together a coherent account of what led to the downfall of Sennacherib's army when he tried to take Jerusalem and failed.
Well, I look forward to having the chance to talk about that. We both share living on the Space Coast, and you've got a background in space. I visit the Space Center from time to time and share a little bit of that interest from a fan standpoint and watching. I hope that you pursue that in book form and would love a chance to talk about that as well. I mentioned on your website the blog that you have going. Talk a little bit about that. The images, the illustrations that you use there are really so well done, and the messages are very thoughtfully presented. Talk about the blog's part of your website.
Okay, you're talking about the images of the characters of the novel?
Yes, when you're talking
yes,
about this.
Yes, I wanted to bring the characters to life. I also wanted them to look the way people really did look like in those ancient times. I used artificial intelligence software and had those detailed color images created, which you saw. And you know, you saw the image of the damsel in distress. I gave her a name, Adorina, fictional daughter of the governor Nebuchadnezzar of Nineveh. And the heroes, the good guys, Rabu, the mighty swordsman, Tamraz, the mighty spearman, Saliba, the mighty axeman, the arch villain, Malkuno, and you can see from his image, you just by looking at his face, you can tell he's a very cruel and infamous and vile fellow. I put in an image of the solar eclipse that darkened Nineveh, and scenes of Jonah being vomited onto the shore, and Jonah then preaching to the Ninevites, and then the governors of Nineveh rejoicing when God relents from destroying the city.
You know,
all of that was created with AI software.
And you've done an excellent job in presenting that. Again, the research, the passion for detail makes these stories come alive. This is the newest book from Arturo Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z, Lamassu Falling, a novelette of ancient Assyria in the days of Jonah. The other books that he's written, Facts and Reasons for the Christian Worldview that we've talked about, Days of Jonah and The Case Against the Cainites, all of this available on his website, factsandreasons.squarespace.com. I'm giving you a lot, but we have it on our website. You can get the information link on and go from there and order the books, get information on Arturo and the books there as well. It is always a pleasure, Arturo, to have you on the program. My thanks to KingPagesPress.com, your marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation once again today. It is always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Our guest, Arturo Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z. The book is Lamassu Falling. That book and all of his books available on his website, factsandreasons.squarespace.com. Books available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.